Joining us on this wonderful Wednesday morning, Sterling Mayor Skip Lee, City Manager Scott Schumer. Of course, he had a city council meeting a couple of days ago on Monday. Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm all right. Another beautiful day in the
South Valley. Oh, my gosh. It is absolutely perfect. You know, I was even doing honeydew stuff yesterday without grouching.
Okay, then.
Because normally my wife picks the days that it's 105 degrees. It feels like 105 degrees to say, oh, let's go work in the yard, you know.
Well, she looks ahead.
Yeah. So yesterday was a great day. But, no, we want to enjoy this weather while we have it. We want to be very thankful that we're not where you have to worry about flooding or forest fires. I mean, you know, you and I both as Californians are looking out there at the fires in the West, and wow. That's unbelievable.
Especially when the smoke would come over the mountains and fill up the wonderful basin out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, at least it's natural smoke, if you will, and not smog. You know, it's not that yellow fog that we used to see from up on Big Bear. But still, you know, people are building more and more in those areas that, you know, God didn't design the California environment for people to live in most of it. And now they're moving in. That's why a friend of mine's a vet out there. She's seeing more rattlesnake interactions with pets, more cougar interactions. I can remember when my mom and dad lived in Oceanside area, I noticed in their housing area that I didn't see any of the little dogs that so often you see. Well, that's because when they put Fifi or Fufu out in the backyard, the cougars would get them.
Oh, my. Wow.
And if the cougars didn't get them, the coyotes got them.
Right.
So, you know, that's an interesting environment to live in. So here we don't have any rattlesnakes. We don't have forest fires. This is the Garden of Eden.
It is.
We have City Manager Scott Schumard. What more could we want?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
You know? It was good to see you, Scott. Monday out at Westwood Sports Complex, new kids gym. Boy, amazing place. Huh?
Just in time for me to have a kid outgrow it, so that I don't need it any longer.
Oh.
but yeah, that's a fabulous addition to Westwood out there. Is an area I think they've got several hours a day time frames all through the week that you can drop your child off and continue to work out. So that makes things a little bit easier for those people trying to juggle everything in life and still get a work out in to maintain their fitness.
Yeah, beautiful place.
I was wondering, so it's not open all day long. They have specific open.
Yeah, no, they have staff there, and if you are a member, it's free to use, as I understand it. Yeah, for members.
Yep.
And drop your child off and go do your workout and come back. And we kind of joke maybe some people might want to take a 4 or 5 hour workout. Who knows? But be it as it may. But also, you don't have to be a member. There's also, I'm not sure what the fee is, but there is a drop-in fee where if you're a drop-in workout person, you can drop your child off. And it's also, I know, not that this is a city thing, but go ahead and plug in the Park District because it is a wonderful part of our community.
Yeah.
It's also available for party rentals and things of that nature.
Yep.
So I think it'd be, if you're in that age range, I think of anywhere, it can go down pretty low, but for that area, for kids to enjoy it, really, I think if you're anywhere between probably 3 and 10, it'd be a nice little place to have the kids have a little birthday cake and run around and play, and hopefully, well, for now they're masks, but hopefully someday soon we'll be able to get out of this and pass this and kids roam free.
Well, that's good to hear, because I know I went over to Dewis to take my grandkids over to swim, and they only have 2 hours a day that they have open swim at the pool at Dewis, and I thought that was rather interesting, that especially during the summer, that, you know, they only had 2 hour availability. So to hear that this is open all the time is a great thing.
Yeah.
It was innovative of them to do that. It was very quiet in there, I understand.
I asked if there was hazard pay for the employees that have to listen to all of the cacophony of sound, as I called it. So
yeah, but kids were having fun.
They were having fun. Evident, and you could hear that.
Yep. Well, that's good for them.
So we, how was the city council on Monday? Kind of late.
It was light in terms of number of issues on the agenda, but you know, it's as I was saying off air before, it's really interesting to look at the council now, because you're beginning to see people who have voices and have interests starting to emerge. You have Josh Johnson, who's the alderman, who is very interested in riverfront development. You got Caitlin Equist, who's on there, who is very interested in social causes. You have Alderman Weiss, who, because of his background in city government, you know, looks or, you know, sees things that are infrastructure. So it's really cool to see people starting to express, you know, some of the things they're interested in. And, like, you know, and what precipitated that last night particularly was that the feds gave us, or gave us, there's no such thing as free money. Somebody's going to pay for it. Maybe it'll be my great-great-grandchildren. But the American Rescue Plan funds are coming, and I think they're tied up at the state right now, aren't they?
Yes. So, actually, we have to do a lot of there's a whole application process to get this. It's federal money that we're, quote-unquote, entitled to, but the state does make you do a series of hoops, as they usually do.
Yeah, they're very good at
hoops.
In order
to get the money, yes. So,
very good at hoops.
That portal, I think, is open for until the end of October, I'm wanting to say. Maybe even the end of November that communities have to apply for. Because if they don't apply for them, then the money gets recycled back and gets sent out to the communities that did. So we've already started our application and we're in the process. We're in good shape.
That was my next question. If you don't apply for it, it just kind of...
You lose.
Finds another place
yes.
to go.
You snooze, you lose. And, wow. You know, we can... You know, we're eligible for approximately $2 million. And it can be used for, you know, a variety of things. Everything from providing health issues for mental health or funding for some mental health things, water sewer infrastructure, replacing lost revenue, dealing with economic aid, helping businesses. So Alderman Weiss last night asked that we form a group of people who would look at this and maybe set some priorities. So we're going to put together, Scott and I haven't had a chance to really get down into the weeds on how we're going to do it. But because it has such a broad community impact, we're going to have a couple of aldermen, Scott and I, and then when we talk about economic issues in the community, we always include Heather Sotelo from GSDC. We include Jana from Main Street Sterling Today and Chris Noble from the Chamber. So we can kind of look at some things. I think Scott and I need to talk a little bit first about, you know, where we see some priorities are so we can give the group something to work with. I found that over the years, if you just get a group of people together and say, okay, what do you think? Nothing gets done. Whereas if you give them something to react to, even if they tear it apart or don't adopt it, at least it's a staging area. So we're going to spend some time doing that. Like Scott said, you know, the portal's open until October. We're doing the application. The funds don't have to be spent until December of 2026. So it's not like we have to have projects and spend the money now. I mean, we have some time to reflect on it, and I think we need to. I mean, $2 million is not chump change. So we're going to, you know, spend some time with that.
And one of the first things on the list that's specifically not allowed is spending money on roads. So <Yeah. laughs> so we won't be doing that, just to make that clear.
So there's a stipulation in
there? There are stipulations.
Wow.
Strangely, you can do water infrastructure projects, sewer infrastructure. You can even do stormwater infrastructure, but you cannot do roads. You can't do parks with it. So those are. It's kind of a... Why a sewer plant's allowed, but a road's not, I don't know, but that's what they've dictated mm-hmm. in the rules. So there you have it.
So that was the follow from the Fed or the state Senate?
Right, yes.
Guidelines.
That's
wow.
the Fed, yeah.
Wow. Well, that's kind of curious.
It is.
Discouraging.
I don't know. You know, there's no such thing as a free lunch, I guess they would say, and there's no such thing as free money. But to an extent, this is, I guess, but at the same time, we're certainly finding that there's things I think we maybe would prioritize, I think, for our community, just with our based on the needs that we hear back as a city, at least, that need to be done. But I think all those are not allowable.
It's interesting.
Yes.
I'm going to give you $500, but you can't spend it on shoes.
Right, correct.
Well, but yeah. I think they want to also, I think this is also designed to be something that, you know, you would do, what would you do with the money that or what would you provide that cost has kept you from providing in the past? You know, for example, last night we were talking about crisis intervention training for our police department. And our police department is very good at getting their officers that training. They surpass the state requirements on this. So the question I had for Chief Chavera was, okay, are there programs or things that you would like to do that you said, sorry, guys, we just don't have the money to do that? Well, that's what this, in my mind, part of this money could be used for. Now, as it turns out, in the case of crisis intervention training, you know, we've always placed that as a high priority. So his answer was, well, no, there really hasn't been anything that arose that, you know, they would have done if they'd had the money. So I think that's part of the process in this. You know, there is some economic development for businesses that suffer that maybe fell through the cracks. Now, you know, we were very aggressive here. We were the first community to take local funds in this area and make it available in the in very low interest long-term loans to businesses in the first set of mitigations. So, you know, we're going to look at it and see, you know, what's a way that we can get the most bang for our buck and help the most people.
We're in studio with Sterling Mayor Skip Lee, City Manager Scott Schumert, and the topic of rescue fund came up, and maybe some work with the funds for going towards the police department, possibly. Would that also involve fire department, or is that in the...
There are a number of different opportunities. But we're, like I say, we're in the process. We're going to study it, be very careful about it. Another thing that people notice, of course, this is the great construction season. Illinois American Water has been running into some challenges. And so people who maybe noticed a little extra water where normally there isn't any, it was a good day to not have a city-owned utility for water.
Well, it was just, we were obviously doing First Avenue this year for construction. That requires relocating everything from gas lines to power poles to fire hydrants, as a matter of fact. So Illinois American was to shut off a couple of valves that hadn't probably been turned in decades, if not longer. And when they went and turned those, they popped. And so there's just it's a bad fix. They've got to have IDOT approval. They're connected to CGH. So it's just there's a whole lot of things going on right there. So it's not an easy, quick and easy fix. So they are working on a plan. They're trying to coordinate with IDOT on how to close the intersection temporarily to get those replaced. So in the meantime, Lefevre and Locust will remain wet. And it's not great for the pavement. But the good news is IDOT, well, they'll fix it, first of all, with a temporary patch, which isn't always great either. But IDOT does plan to redo that intersection next year anyway, along with the rest of Locust north of town, so or north to the north end of town. So that's not a bad problem. It's just more of an inconvenience nuisance at this point.
So is it like bubbling up through the valve can?
Yeah, very slowly. Yeah. There's just standing water there. I think when it first went, it was a miniature fountain in the middle of the road. I saw that because I don't live too far away. But now it's down to just kind of a trickle, but it leaves wet water It leaves wet pavement all over the place for the time being.
You know, it's amazing that people don't understand how much is underground and right. How old some of it is. You know, and you don't. And you know, Julie does a pretty good job, but the Julie folks don't find everything. We had a case we were talking last night about how the gas company drilled through one of our sewer mains or sewer lines because they didn't know it was there, and it was a small enough hole that it didn't cause a major issue. But, you know, things just, we find new stuff all the time.
Oh. And even when they do know it's there, I mean, up on the construction we've got going on 4th and 5th Avenue, they drilled through somebody's sewer lateral because those definitely aren't marked. That's kind of hard to find. You usually find those the hard way. And then as well, not that long ago down by Martin's Landing, we had the was trying to put a new power pole in, and the contractor went straight through one of our sewer lines and caused a sewer leak. So it happens, unfortunately. But, yeah, it's Julie comes out and marks, and they're close. Unfortunately, sometimes when you're not close enough, there's some real consequences. Mm-hmm. But They do still try to be careful, but you can't. It is. And it's some of that stuff, because it's a century old, in a lot of these cases, some of the sewer lines, it's not accurately mapped because it's just the technology wasn't there back then to do what we can do now. So it does make it complicated for any kind of construction work that goes on.
First Avenue is looking good, though. I mean, it's a major rebuild. But, you know, again, what people don't understand, and the other day I was in a local restaurant, and a person was complaining about the roads. And, you know, most folks don't understand that how expensive it is to redo a road. Even if you just throw the asphalt surface, which is over a bad road, which is a bad thing to do, you're still talking, you know, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 to do that per block. We have 100 linear miles, approximately, of streets. That's about 800 blocks. Now, do the math of 800 blocks times 40,000 up. You know, we're doing how many blocks on First Avenue?
You're going all the way from 5th to 16th, essentially, past 16th.
So 11 blocks, $2.4 million.
Wow.
So, I mean, folks don't, you know, and it never fails to amaze me that the number one thing people talk about are roads. And, you know, at some point, I would hope that the public would understand if it was easy to do, we would have done it.
That's right. Well, even last night, we awarded a contract last night for $500,000, so approximately, to reconstruct Avenue E, one block of Avenue E, 9th and 10th, and that's where the gas company had drilled through our sewer line. And we are doing Avenue D from 14th to Lefevre, which is essentially about 3.5 blocks of road, and we're talking $500,000. So it's...
Yeah.
These aren't just paved projects on Avenue E. That's one of the old combined sewers that we found in town, where the sanitary and the storm sewer go through the same thing. Now, the sanitary still ends up in the sewer plant, but it also means that block of storm water is also going to the sewer plant. That's what we've been trying to eliminate, and it hasn't been legal to do in years, but we don't know. Again, when this stuff is built a century ago, you don't know where it's all at. So as we uncover it, we try to fix it. So that's that project. And Avenue D next to the Kilgore Park, we're going to add 3 more parking stalls on the north end of near the tennis courts there, adding on to what's existing. Plus, we'll be doing sidewalk, curb, gutter, and the whole nine yards, which doesn't exist up in that area. So it's a hefty project. It adds up when you're talking about $500,000, and it's not like we pick one contractor and say go. We take bids on it, and that's the lowest of the three bids that we receive for that project. And I think it's like everything else, we're all seeing it in whether it's our price of gas, our price of food, whatever it is, everything's ticking up. And when it's ticking up on the outside, it's ticking up for us as well. And you're just seeing that trend upwards, and I hope it stops soon. Obviously, I think the economists are torn on what's going to happen, but it's certainly not helping us, at least for now.
And, you know, there's some good news last night. I mean, for example, starting at the end of August, we're going to be redoing Lincoln Park over by Lincoln School. It's going to have a bit of an American Ninja Warrior feel to some of the renovations.
I would say, yeah. So, yeah, we've got community builds and project for those. So just one of those is going in at Lincoln Park, and one's at Platt, and it'll be August 20th and August 27th. A representative from the equipment company will be here, along with some public works employees, and we're looking for community volunteers to come out and help erect these systems. And so the pipes will be put in the ground and bolted together with volunteers hopefully on Friday, and then Saturday I'll look for a few more volunteers to come in, and then the whole beds have to be mulched. There's a specific depth of mulch that has to be put everywhere in case,
wow,
presumably, right, somebody falls while trying to do one of the obstacles.
Do they come with instructions?
I think that's why the park equipment employee is there.
But, you know, that's going to be a good thing.
So contact us. The city, just call the main line, let them know, or call Public Works and say, hey, we'd love to volunteer.
Cool.
And we're going to try and hit up some a guy just asked for the contact information on Friday. We're going to try and hit up some of the community groups and maybe even the Lincoln PTA or something like that to try and get some people out there, and many hands make for lighter loads. So,
well, you know, and it's, if you look at it over at Kilgore, you know, when the community built that many, many decades ago, I mean, that was a wonderful thing. So, you know, we need that. The state is going to start working on 4th Street And that means you're going to see some traffic disruption there around the post office. Now, disruption is not good, but what is good news is those dead pine trees or spruce that have been there are going to come down, so the look will improve tremendously by taking those out. But we're going to see that in partnership with the schools. There's a sidewalk that's going to be going from Sterling High along Lefevre there to make it safer for the kids. So, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff that's going on. You know, if anybody has contact inside the railroad, we could use some help with that down on the riverfront. You know, we're making progress. Unfortunately, we're still dealing with the railroad, and railroads are bureaucratic. So we can, you know, but things are progressing nicely. Summer is just disappearing. I mean, school is in what, about 2.5 weeks?
I don't want to think of it. I'm still in shock that it's August. So.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's going to be a good deal. We're, and again, this beautiful weather.
Coming up Friday, where are you going to be? Hot dog day.
That's right. Friday is hot dog day.
It's back.
11 to 1. Yeah, it's good. I've got my T-shirt ordered, so I don't know when we pick those up. You know, I'm a big hot dog. Well, maybe I'm more my size. I'm more like a brat. But, yeah, and, you know, that's a great thing. And the community comes out and the social interaction, it's a really a nice thing. Plus, down on the riverfront at the pavilion, they're having a kids'
kind of a fun fest.
Fun fest. Yeah. So it'll be a great day, and weather's supposed to be wonderful. So, and you know, the final band concert is going to be tonight, and so that's going to, and you know, they have done such a beautiful job. That is truly one of our crown jewels in the city, and they're really tied in more with the schools and the community. You look around, you see young people there. There's a time, a few years ago that I was going to have Corner McDonald sponsor the concerts because that was the age group that was there. But now you look, you see young families there. They do a great job musically. I'd like to thank the band for the wonderful job they did this year.
So we got Hot Dog Day coming up on Friday, and your next city council meeting is the day before the beginning of the Whiteside County Fair.
Yes, let's go to the fair.
Yeah. All right, so we'll see you after the 16th then.
Sounds good to me.
Did we cover everything?
We have covered everything.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Everything that you need to know about.
Oh, okay. Right.
All of the news is worth printing.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right, you have a wonderful day now.